I was like, oh, I need to, and I had to do a food trip as well. So then went into Aldi, and like, luckily it's all air conned. I was like, oh, nice. So went from Aldi to the car.
Sarah, are you okay? Just stood in the freezer section. Like.
I just sat on the peak, just
there, like. So we're going to have to ask you to leave.
Hello and welcome back to season 3 of FPL by Dummies. I'm Tom.
And I'm Cam.
And welcome back. Another season. If you're still listening to us, I mean, what are you doing?
I'm assuming. Apologies out early doors.
I'm assuming you're like, you've accidentally put us on and then you're melting in a puddle and you now no longer have use of arms or legs. So you're just having to listen to us continue to ramble. So if that is the case, then unlucky. And if you're choosing to listen to us, also unlucky. Cam, how you doing, mate? All good? You melted? I mean, put a timestamp on it. We're currently in the middle of heat wave number day one, Monday.
18th. Yeah, not to flex on you all, but my fridge dispenses water. So I've got a 2-pint full glass of ice cold water to try and keep me cold through this this recording. And it's safe to say it's not working. So
excellent. Yeah, that makes me really happy.
In classic British fashion, we're going to talk about the weather first thing.
What's new?
And complain, because why not?
I mean, if it makes you feel better, I do have a glass of water. I mean, we're not even on YouTube, so there's no point in me showing anyone else, but I have a glass of water, which is just water. I put 6 ice cubes in that about 15 minutes ago, and it is now just water. And can confirm.
Tepid.
It is warm. Pretty... I mean, we're talking about the weather now, so let's do it. Why does it feel so much shitter when you're not on holiday? Like, when you're on holiday, I'm in love with it.
Everyone says that, like, this country's not built for it, and that's why it's, like, so horrendous whenever it is really hot. But Tom and I were just chatting, and I was out for lunch today, and we were sat in the shade, so it wasn't too bad. But as you say, like, just walking down the street didn't feel pleasant. But as you say, for some reason, when you're abroad, it's fine. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess, as I said, being Brits, it can never be good. So if it's too hot, then it's too hot. And if it's cold, then it's too cold. So
might be too hot.
Might be too hot. It is well hot.
Yeah, it is well hot. And obviously Cam knows this, but I may as well tell the listeners because, you know everything else about my life anyway. I'm the world's sweatiest man. So literally, I am absolutely soaked at the moment.
And we're not just talking about FIFA.
So if you are eating your dinner while I just said I'm the world's best man and you're now picturing that, sucks to be you, doesn't it? So, FPL. Are you happy it's back? I mean, we are. I mean, I always see. I mean, let's start with our most loyal listener, FPL Therapy, who always retweets our tweet saying, episodes come out. He always says, like, oh, I'm sure you're the only two podcast hosts who complain so incessantly about how shit the game is, but come back every single week to play it again. Happy it's back. Sad it's been gone.
In a weird way, yes. I mean, I always said at the end of last season
masochist.
Well, yeah, exactly. I always said at the end of last season that it's been a long, hard season. The summer break will do me good. I will enjoy the time off and then come back refreshed. And in the past couple of weeks, I mean, it took me until like the past few days to draw up a draft just because I couldn't face doing it. And I was kind of like, oh, we've not really had that long off and it's going to start again. But actually, now that we're back talking about it, maybe it's just you, mate, and just so happy to see you again.
Oh,
but
thanks, mate.
I'm actually kind of excited to talk about it and for the season to start. I think, yeah, just kind of the absence of any real competitive football hasn't stoked the fire, but now that we're kind of looking at the fixtures and teams are starting to hot up in their pre-season training, not just from the temperatures but getting ready for match day one, I think I'm actually quite looking forward to it now. But as you say, a masochist, so
I think I realize like the difference between I've just realized the difference between me and you on I think the sadness levels of FPL. I just looked at our game week our FPL IDs for this year, and yours is very high and mine is disgustingly low.
I mean, in terms of signing
like
up
when you signed up for the game, like,
oh, I didn't realize it was based on that.
Yeah, as you sign up. Well, I mean, I'm lucky. Okay. You can tell we're right. Just I mean, I obviously spend way too much time on Twitter. That's the only reason I do that.
Yeah, I thought it was just based on, like, you know, when you create an account, so your player ID, whatever, because you signed up in 2012 and that's the number you got at the time. But
yeah, no. New one, okay. new one every year. I say mine's 13,000th and yours is 2.2 million. So
yeah, no, I did see the kind of first drafts. I don't really go on Twitter anymore, but the one time I got a notification last week, I went on and saw the first few drafts trickling through. And as I said, I just couldn't bring myself to do it just yet. But I was trying to get into the setup and into all the leagues and also prepared for this so we could actually have something to talk about. But yeah, as I said, in the past, like, I think that excitement has come only really in the past 45 minutes. So.
As we logged onto the call, we started chatting about football again. Oh, yeah. It's back. Oh, it's back. I mean...
But yeah, what about you? Excited?
I don't know, really. I'm not sure. I'll tell you probably... Wait, when's the first game kickoff?
Friday the 5th at 8, I think it is.
I'll tell you, so what, about 10 o'clock on Friday the 5th, if I'm enjoying it or not. Might just log off and call it a day after that one. So
10 p.m. I mean,
yeah, about 10 p.m. after the game's okay. Finished, and I realised that I shouldn't have owned Gabriel Jesus, and why do I own Martinelli again? So, yeah, pricing. I mean, the pricing is like a bit all over the place this year.
Yeah, I mean it's what everyone was waiting for, wasn't it?
So the prices, I guess, are low. I'd say pretty low. I mean, yeah, everyone said that, but
I think across the board, yeah. I mean, as I said, I've not been on Twitter, so I've not, I guess I can come with a bit more of an objective view. I've not seen what people are suggesting, but on first.
So what's your thoughts then?
I would agree that it, across the board, it is quite low. There's very few, if any, well, all of the premium goalkeepers are now 5.5. There's no one at 6, I don't think, is there? Let's have a quick sort by price. Why did keepers just drop off?
Yeah, they dropped the keeper prices quite low this year.
We'll get into what I think about that. But yeah, keepers, no one's more than 5.5. A lot more 5s and a lot more 4.5s of the mid-table keepers, because there were some who, and I mean, for example, let's look at Pickford. Everton struggled last year, so they ended up being a relegation candidate side. But realistically, they're a mid-table team. So having Pickford priced at 4.5, that we'll see if Everton can have a better showing this year. But yeah, I think you've obviously got the big boys in midfield and defence who were priced quite highly and up front. But even then, they're not breaking the bank. I mean, this is Salah's joint highest ever, but that's kind of understandable off the back of the season he had last year. Son has finally become a fully premium midfielder at 12 mil. But, you know, Trent could very easily have been 8 mil. There's been defenders who started the season. I think Alonso, 5 years or so ago, started the season as 8 mil. But for Trent to be at 7.5 is pretty reasonable. And then, obviously, Haaland isn't a slight unknown quantity coming into the league. And Kane is very well proven, but only 11.5. So, yeah, I think across the board, they are quite cheap.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I mean, there's the 7, which seem to be the main pick so far. So, I mean, let's go through them quickly. But the 7, the template 7 at the moment are Trent Alexander-Arnold, Joao Cancelo, Reece James, Perisic, Mo Salah, Gabriel Jesus, and Haaland. I mean, Haaland's ownership at the moment is disgusting. 61.8%.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few that are over or getting very near to 60%. So Trent's at 55, Salah's 58. As you said, Haaland 61, Jesus 59.1% ownership. So there's a few who everyone is very much got their eye on. But yeah, I mean, should we talk about kind of any surprise pricings? Are there any that stand out to you right away that you would expect them to maybe be a bit more than they are?
I think the reason everyone owns Gabriel Jesus is 8 million for what will be Arsenal's starting striker. Bear in mind, they actually looked half decent last year, apart from the fact they needed a striker. It's just ridiculous.
But I mean, on that Arsenal topic, what do you think about Saka being priced at 8 mil?
It's just pointless, isn't it, I think?
As in, it's a bit too much for him.
Well, as in, like, because Jesus is 8 mil, you just own Jesus instead. It's like, I mean, Jesus doesn't really... Is there anyone else that... I mean, apart from Nketiah, I guess, obviously, who can rotate with him. but Jesus is the striker. I mean, you'd imagine Nketiah will just very play a bit more of the Europa League and stuff. And then you've got Saka, but then you've also got, well, they've just signed that Fabio Vieira. They got Martinelli, they've got Smith Rowe, and they've got Odegaard. So, I mean, obviously the three positions play across the middle. The majority of them can play sort of, I mean, Martinelli can play. It's a bit of a mixture, really. It's a bit of a mixed bag. So I just don't know. I just find it a bit weird. I mean, Saka's probably one of their like star players, but I mean, also you got, I guess, like Luis Diaz at 8 million, which I mean is also ridiculously cheap. Yeah. So, like, who would you rather own, Saka? I mean, the eight mils is definitely a topic we can get into in a little bit. The 8 mil midfielders are weird. they're all pretty good, but they're all just really cheap. But you can't afford to buy all of them because everyone wants either Salah or Son or Haaland or Kane.
Yeah, I mean, fun. You certainly...
I love FPL. I'm so glad I'm back.
Well, you certainly want, like, at least three of the premium attackers. And I say attackers, I mean, like, midfielders as well as forwards.
I don't think you can afford three, though. I've been messing around with it. I mean, I've been following on Twitter as well. Three is... Your team gets proper ropey after if you put three in.
Yeah, I mean, really my team probably is quite ropey at the minute, but I do have three premiums in my first draft. We'll talk about our drafts later on, because I think we'll talk about prices first. But Jarrod Bowen, 8.5, obviously had a really good season last year, which caused him to end up with that high price tag. That's just under 30 goal involvements he had, 12 scored and 17 assists. I'm sure some of those are rebounds, but still. 8.5 is West Ham's highest priced asset.
It's a weird one, Bowen. I really want to own him because of last year, and I don't see any reason of why he won't do the same as what he did last year. But the pricing's really hard. It's just really hard to get him in.
Well, I was going to say, do you think that obviously really, really good returns last year. What was his actual overall points after those 29? 206 points. I don't know where exactly that put him in terms of top scorers, but he certainly was in the top 10. I'd be pretty confident in saying.
I think you're right. No, definitely was.
Obviously, he was priced at 6.5 at that point, and so that's probably people wanted to own him because of the points per million value. But now that he's 8.5, does he deliver that same value? And so do people want him?
I don't know, 200 points at 8.5 mil. I mean, maybe not Salah, but like Son also got stupid points last year, but like a player scoring over 200 points is pretty good.
Mm.
So even if he's 8.5 mil, I feel like it's going to be one of those players that no one's going to own him at the start of the season. And then he's going to start doing some silly stuff again and people are going to flock to him again.
Yeah, I mean, he's currently 9.4% owned, so not low ownership, but also not high. Probably because people are having this toss-up of, you know, he's now 8.5, which is 2 million more than he was last year. Is he worth that extra part of your budget? Also, Kulusevski didn't have quite the same output, but he's priced at 8 mil, so he's 0.5 cheaper. I guess the dilemma there is people will probably want Son and or Kane. And obviously, as we've seen, a lot of people are owning Perisic because he's most likely going to be playing left wing back and is obviously he's world-class quality. So can you afford to have Kulusevski in there as well?
I don't think Reguilón even went on preseason tour.
Oh, really?
No, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm probably absolutely talking out my ass as normal. But I'm pretty sure he didn't go. I'll do a bit Googling while you talk, but I'll try and find out.
I mean, I think it would be pretty safe to suggest that even if he is fit and doesn't get sold, that Perisic will start over him, given Perisic's relationship with Conte, having played under him at Inter. Obviously, Conte's now brought him with him to Spurs. Did he come on a free or did he have a slight fee? I don't think they paid over the odds for him, but clearly, you know, he's rated by Conte, so you'd expect him probably to start. The only thing I kind of thought of was that, you know, to own both Kane and Son at 12 and 11.5 is a lot. So you could maybe sacrifice one of them to have Kulusevski trying to cover off and then maybe have Perisic in. But
No Reguilón. He didn't go. They didn't give a reason why, but he just said continue the pre-preparations at Hotspur away. It's no Reguilón, no Ndombele, no Lo Celso, no Harry Winks. Didn't go with them. which is interesting. So yeah. that's a really interesting one. But I mean, don't think Perisic is even fit at the moment. I mean, he's barely played, I think, any in the preseason game so far. But yeah, really interesting one. Give you one that I'm really interested in, and I'm probably going to try and force him into my team somehow. Jack Grealish.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I've not been on Twitter, but I've seen lots of people kind of predicting that this season is going to be the season he comes good. And obviously with Sterling leaving for Chelsea, that's one less position. I mean, obviously Haaland and Alvarez have both come in, but yeah, this could be his season to step up and flourish. And is he 7 mil, 7.5?
7 mil.
Yeah.
Seven mil. Imagine that. Like, I mean, the Jack Grealish from Aston Villa. And there was a really good thread I read the other day. I can't remember who it was. Apologies. But yeah, they were saying like every Man City player in the second season under Pep has been miles better than the first season. Obviously, Sterling's now gone, which obviously now he's more right-sided. But you've got Foden, Mahrez, trying to get the wingers, Grealish. Is that it?
Foden, Mahrez, yeah.
Maybe, Alvarez plays on the right mainly. I mean, sorry, he plays obviously through the middle, but he can play on the right as well.
Bernardo can sometimes play in one of those forward positions as well.
I mean, I just, 7 million, I just really, really like it.
It's similar to the Ferran Torres situation of last year where he was City's kind of cheapest.
Don't say that, I owned him for way too
long. No, but just in terms of he was quite enticing because he was City's cheapest attacking asset at 7 mil, and having someone who is likely to play most of City's games at 7 mil in a front line that scores over 100 goals a year, or say front line, a team that scores over 100 goals a year, could be, you know, a bargain route into it, particularly given that, you know, De Bruyne is 5 million more, and obviously for good reason, but if you for whatever reason want to own some of the other premiums, then Grealish could be a good cover. But I was just looking, staying with the Perisic, can kind of understand why he's so popular given, you know, Laporte, Diaz score goals from corners, obviously, Matip every now and then, but all three of those are priced at 6 mil, and Perisic playing as a wing back with the attacking quality he's got, getting forward as much as he can and probably will do, is 0.5 cheaper. So I think he is really good value, which is obviously not stating anything particularly insightful because so many people own him. So people clearly already know that, but kind of still on the theme of how low everyone's been priced this year. It's quite interesting to see. I wonder as well, though, if part of the thinking behind the FPL Towers is that, you know, people like Alisson and Edison being priced at 6 million and, you know, just other assets, pricing them too high just causes people not to own them. And so it's actually introducing a bit of variety into people's teams because it brings people back into consideration that you might not have thought, particularly with everyone, as you said, you know, having Trent, Salah, maybe Haaland, if that's who they're going for, like lots of premiums that they don't want to either sacrifice or, you know, make way for. Then it allows more variety in teams, so not everyone just has 4.5, 4 million goalkeepers. They might actually think to stretch their budget a bit.
I mean, I'm owning a 4.5 and a 4 million keeper this year.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the only one that the most owned keeper at the moment is Mendy at 5 mil, which again is a stupid price. Like, why is he cheaper than Alisson and Edison?
Where did he end up in terms of
not that high in the end, I don't think. He didn't play. Was he injured or? Africa Cup of Nations. He was obviously away for that. And towards the end of the season, obviously, they just gave up, didn't they? Old Chelsea. But I mean, they've signed Koulibaly now. There's talk of either signing Kimpembe or Koundé or Aki has also been talked about, another defender.
I think Ake's off the table now.
Oh, has that been? Oh, okay.
But yeah, certainly Kimpembe and Koundé, I think, are still on their radar. Obviously, Koulibaly's come through the door. with Rudiger and Christensen leaving. But Chelsea have done some... I think this has been one of the best windows for a good while. I know that's a slight segue in terms of now talking about transfers, but there's been some really good transfers in terms of, you know, for example, Sterling going to Chelsea, Richarlison going to Spurs. Like, what's been quite frustrating, and I know, like, there's so much money at stake, but you look at Italy and Germany where they, like, freely sell to each other, and that just doesn't happen in the Prem. Like, they will never sell their best player or just a player to another team unless it's for stupid money. And I know Gabriel Jesus going for 45 mil is a lot of money, but and Richarlison for like 50 to 60 for Spurs is a lot of money. But it's nice to see teams, like, if a player's not happy, then just getting rid of them, because it just makes it more interesting. And, you know, people like Koulibaly coming into Chelsea and Sterling moving to Chelsea, it's like really good business for them. And going to be, you know, yeah, an interesting season to see how it shakes out.
Yeah, really interesting. Lots of transfers. I mean, also Christian Eriksen to Man United. Mm. Tears.
How do you feel?
Just devastated.
Do you think it was ever likely that he was going to stay?
At the start, no. I didn't, like, so if you asked me right at the start of the season, is he going to stay? Sorry, at the end of the last season, is he going to stay? No, he's obviously not going to stay. Then Spurs pulled out of signing him. He obviously was never going to do Arsenal. And so it's like, and then he came out with this thing like, oh, I'd like to stay in London. You know, my family settled in London. And it's like, here we go. Go on, my boy. And then Man United came with a big old checkbook, and now he's living in Manchester. So
I guess, yeah. I guess the thing I kind of rationalised swinging it the most for him was the Ten Hag factor, the fact that they have that Ajax link, and when he was trying to get fit last season after his heart problems, Ajax took him in and allowed him to train with them for a period of time. And yeah, obviously I watched a Sky Sports documentary on Ten Hag throughout this summer, and all of the players rave about him and his ideas, and it'll just be interesting to see if that actually takes hold at Man United, because there's been a lot of managers that have gone there with supposedly world-beating management tactic, not tactics, but styles, and, you know, philosophies that they play by and stuff, and the players haven't taken to it for whatever reason. So it'll be interesting to see if the players do buy into it. It seemed they've had some good results in pre-season, but I think that's probably what swung it for Eriksen was, like, Brentford was like a good sentimental thing, like Thomas Frank and all the other Danes there, but footballing reasons, he probably got swung by United.
Show me the money.
That too.
Yeah, I think it was completely down to motivated by money.
not bitter at all.
Not bitter at all. Yeah, motivated purely.
Money grabbing bastard. Money. Never liked him.
Never liked him. Never won in the club anyway. So, yeah, you know what? Bugger off. No.
Good riddance.
No, I don't know. I can't, obviously, I don't know him personally. Just, just he's just close to my heart, that's all. So, yeah. What a dick. Anyway.
What do we think about the Liverpool front two of Jota and Darwin? First of all, Jota being moved to a forward and his new pricing, and then Darwin's pricing.
I mean, Jota's just ruled himself out, really, though, hasn't he? Because, I mean, like, because Diaz is 8 mil, you just go Diaz, I think, really. And then Nunes is just such an unknown quantity. And I think Jota maybe has a bit of an injury now. They're talking about he might be not ready for the start of the
season. He's yellow flagged, certainly. But do we know why Richarlison's red flagged? Is it because he punched someone?
Yeah, he's banned. He's banned.
Was that from the end of the last season?
I want to say it's because of the flare incident. So, you know, he threw the flare at the crowd. Yeah. But I don't know if that is why.
Did you see he punched someone in pre-season the other day?
No. Who? What?
Someone...
He's such an absolute troll.
He's just a shithouse, isn't he? someone tried to start on Son, and he just threw like a little rabbit punch trying to get in front of Son to protect him.
Did he get sent off?
I don't know. I think it was at the end of the game. But the officials just didn't see it. But
no, he's banned for the flare. The flare instance, okay. Why he's banned. Just Googled it. But I did type in Richarlison in the first like Google search. You know, it's like the auto completes. Yeah, punch. Richarlison punch. I'll watch that later.
Another position move, Havertz. interested?
Yeah, I don't like that either. No, not even slightly.
Fair.
I don't know. I'm not interested in any Chelsea player until, I mean, maybe Sterling, but he's too expensive at the moment. He's too expensive until he becomes really good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until he shows like, oh, you know, you have to own him because his form is unreal. I'm just going to stay away from it for now. Yeah, it's just a weird one. There's like so many options. Do you like the fact the price have been made cheaper?
I don't know. I mean, as I said, we'll get on to drafts shortly. As I said, I've already put a lot of my eggs in a few small baskets. But I feel like it's more achievable to own premiums and still have a good rest of your team, which, and this is just my instant reaction, which I like. But yeah, as you mentioned earlier, the 8 million price midfielder debate is just, as I say, maybe it's a good thing because it means there's going to be more variety because people will end up settling on different players rather than just being like, oh, well, he's cheaper, so I'll go for him, or he's more expensive, he provides more, you know, kind of attacking threat, I'll go for him. But to see who's going to choose, I mean, you've already said you probably wouldn't go for Saka because of Jesus, but who's going to choose out of Saka, Mount, Madison, Diaz, Mahrez and Foden, and even Kulusevski, like, you know, that's 7 to 8 quality midfielders there. You obviously can't own even 3 of them. So who are you going to choose? And that will hopefully mean that we see more variety in teams. So I think overall it's a positive thing. But yeah, it does just make that decision-making hard, which you might say is a negative thing. But
yeah, I think the problem you've got is because everyone's going to own like 1 8 million midfielder, you're going to have like one of the £8 million defender midfielders is going to do really well. And then everyone will just flock to that one. And if he continues to do well, then it's sort of, and if the template 7 stay all doing well, which I mean, there's a reason they're the template players because they are potentially the best players. Maybe Perisic is the outsider, but I mean, you've got a winger who plays wing back at 5.5. So not too bothered by that. I don't know. I'm not sure. I like it. Parts of me have gone, oh, this is great because it's really good. But then parts of me have gone, oh, it's just shit because everyone's got the same team. But then again, like you said, they don't all have the same team. It's just going to be the problem you've got is your differentials are going to be just like 4 or 5 players rather than all 11.
Yeah.
Unless you're an absolute risk-taking bastard.
Which, as I said, talking about 8 million, someone who's certainly not 8 million, Rakus Mashford at 6.5.
I don't know. I really want to. I like it a lot, but
I feel like obviously they've not done it like this way, but that's borderline disrespectful. Like, I know we didn't have a good season last year, but there's still the, like, when Josh, bless his soul, used to do this with us, you know, the point he made was there's still the possibility that he could go good, and that's why they price.
Sorry, I had to see that.
Who was that guy? And that's why they price some of those players who aren't necessarily, like, you know, the Werner debate, like why he was still like 9 to 10 million when he'd had like a bad season. It was the possibility that he could have a good one. And if he was like severely underpriced, then, you know, his ownership would go through the roof and they just, yeah. But Rashford at 6.5, like, even as I said, 8, like, you know, I don't think anyone would start the season with him, but he makes him a lot more. Like, more people might, and he's more appetizing, or not appetizing, but more of a consideration when he does come into good form. But now it's just like, no one's going to take a risk on him because he's 6.5. But if he does go good, then everyone's going to get him in.
I'm tempted.
Really?
I mean, 2 seasons ago, he scored 174 points, got 11 goals and 11 assists.
Don't get me wrong.
The season before that, he got 17 goals and 8 assists, and he had a bad season last season. I mean, the season before last, he was in the England squad. He was playing well. I mean, he wasn't scoring the goals, but he was getting the assists. And everyone was like, oh, you know, he's not scoring as many goals as he was. He still scored 11 goals. And then last season, he played 1,200 minutes. He scored 4 goals, got 2 assists. I don't know. I just... It's depending on minutes, because I feel like he's not going to get the minutes probably at the start. But I'm just thinking about it. It's like, well, who plays where? And I'm just trying to think of that team, and I just, I mean, now this one, Eriksen is a bit more up in the air a little bit, because, and obviously if De Jong finally comes in, if he comes in, then yeah, of course, there's going to be a lot of competition there. But all he needs to have is a few good games. I don't hate it at all.
Yeah, it's just one of those where it's upgrade such a, players. As much as we do know a lot about him, he is quite an unknown quantity because he just featured so little last year. And when he did, he wasn't particularly exciting. But we still have this, you know, he's Marcus Rashford. He's obviously, as you said, he scored nearly 20 goals a season and backed up with a few more assists as well. So he does have the potential to do it, but will he is the big question. So for me, it's a wait and see.
But any defenders catch your eye?
I think I like Walker's pricing at 5 mil. Obviously, well, I say obviously, City have a bit of a left back issue, and it's been someone they've wanted to bring in. And to a certain extent, I understand why they got rid of Zinchenko, because he's not the answer to their left back problem. But when they have a lack of left backs and then they sell one, that kind of is a bit surprising. But yeah, with that left back problem, it suggests that Cancelo will still play there, and so Walker won't have much, if any, competition on the right. And I think even when there is competition, I think Pep prefers to play Walker. So yeah, if he is going to be guaranteed starts most weeks, which with Pep Roulette might not be the case, but 5 million for a route into the City defence, that we all know is so strong, and then the potential for attacking returns going forward. He's not going to have the same level as attacking returns as Cancelo, which is why he's 2 million cheaper, but is the difference in Cancelo's attacking returns worth that 2 million? Don't know, we'll wait and see. But yeah, I quite like his pricing.
Yeah, I agree with you. It just, I assume... Surely they're going to sign. They will surely sign another defender. I mean, Cucurella has obviously been tipped to be the person that signed there, but obviously, I think Brighton want something like 50 million for him. And
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they've just basically said no at the moment. I think is this what's going on? But I think there will be an agreement at some point. I can't see why he won't go there in the end, unless they just outright refuse to pay the money for him. But I can see it happening.
The interesting thing, I mean, it was the season of the mid-priced asset last year, apart from Salah, but like a lot, like Bowen and Saka and all of those guys did really well. But there isn't really that many options that stand out to me, either in mid-priced midfielders or mid to cheap strikers. I don't know what you think.
Defenders or midfielders, you say?
Midfielders and forwards.
No, forwards, I mean, not really. There's no budget at the moment. I mean, there's a couple that have been tossed around, obviously, people are talking about. Undev for Brighton is the one that a lot of people are talking about. I don't know anything about him.
So. I only know about him because Pieface packs him every time he's in form.
about 60 times. Undev, I don't know how you say his name.
Undev.
Yeah, he was on loan last year and was pretty good, is what I heard. He played 12 games and scored 8 goals. So, I mean, it's not a bad showing on loan. and I mean, previously, before they purchased him, he scored quite a lot of goals for Union. So, I don't know. He's 5.5 mil. If he is nailed and plays every week, then great. But, I mean, he's also got Neil Maupay in there and Welbeck. So, it's not great. It's not like... he's going to play every game, I don't think. So, I mean, it'd be rude of me not to say it. Ivan Toney, 7 mil.
Yeah, I like the look of Toney, but I don't think there's many more that are competing with him, really, in the mid-price striker range.
I know, I thought they were going to make forwards a bit more interesting this year, and they just haven't.
I mean, I think Watkins will have a steady season, and I think, provided he can stay fit, so will Callum Wilson, so they might be considerations. But there's no one that I'm... yeah, particularly excited about. I mean, people will probably consider Mitrovic, as they always do, because, you know, especially after last season, did he score like 42 goals or something stupid?
Ridiculous amount of goals, yeah.
Like, he will certainly be a consideration being Fulham's main goal threat, but he always comes up and then just fails to deliver. So it'll be interesting to see if he can actually come good this year. But
there's loads of like £6 million strikers. But I think because obviously everyone wants a sort of set amount of players, it's so hard. I mean, put it this way. I mean, Greenwood for Leeds, Sam Greenwood is currently the third highest owned forward in the game, and he's a non-playing football. Yeah, I mean, he might get a few games and minutes every so often, but he's not going to play a lot. The £6 million are, I mean, relatively interesting. There's a few which I'll be like, oh, they could be interested going forward. Brennan Johnson, I love him. I think he's great, but he's a winger. So it's like, well, they've got him as a forward. Although he played Mwene as a two up here, last year, I guess. But I don't know. I really like Brennan Johnson. And Bumo's £6 million this year. But he's a forward. So it's like, well, why would you have him? Mm. There's a lot. Obviously, a lot of people are talking about Armando Broja if he goes to, I think, talk about West Ham at the moment, but he's not going to start again ahead of Antonio. There's just so many if, buts, and maybes at the moment. If, buts, and babies. and midfielders, I think there's loads. Low-end midfielders. And there's.
See,
so
I don't.
Many.
I think, like.
So.
Many, like, I've just so spotted happy. Pedro Neto priced at 5.5, which I think is really tasty.
He's my little love child from last year anyway, so.
Well, I think, point. You know. I meant, who was I talking about being injured? Oh, Rashford. Rashford obviously started the season injured, and you know, you underestimate kind of the psychological side of football, and you know, not being fully fit going into the season could have knocked his confidence, and then United just generally not playing well. So, you know, coming in hopefully fully fit and with a new manager with plans in place. And obviously Neto doesn't have the new manager thing, but starting the season fully fit, they both could really hit the ground running. And I'm especially excited about Neto. As I said, I'll wait and see about Rashford, but I think Neto is a really good player and one of Wolves' main threats, really. Like, he always seems to give Liverpool a tough time whenever we play against them. So Neto at 5.5, I think, is quite appetising. And we'll get on to our drafts in a minute, but I've got Eze in my draft at 5.5, and I think he'll have a good season, and especially with Gallagher having moved back to Chelsea, vacating a midfield spot. I like the look of him, but yeah,
there's not that many
for me.
For me, so obviously the standout, I mean, if we're talking cheap, obviously Andres Pereira has got the move to Fulham permanently. I mean, he's owned by 21% of the game at the moment. He will be a starter for Fulham. For me, I've got another 4.5 in mind. If anyone follows me on Twitter and knows me well enough, knows obviously I absolutely love Brentford. Joshua Silva is the steal of the year at 4.5 million.
You shouted him out last year and he didn't come good, so it'll be interesting to see.
So, I mean, he was injured up until the middle of January. He had his first game against Newcastle, which also, ironically, was Ericsson's first game. Got sent off in that game for trying to do a skill and fucking it right up. basically trying to destroy Matty Target's right leg. He literally, the Zenban obviously three games because of straight red card. And during those three games trying to train, he pulled a hamstring. So he was literally out for pretty much the rest of the season. Christian Eriksen's gone. Josh De Silva is... I mean, I think I said last year before he like started playing again, like he, in my opinion, was the most ready for the Premier League when we went up that season. Like, he was the player that I was most worried, maybe him, maybe Rico Henry, that I was most worried about, like, they would leave because they were a step above where we were. He is really, really good. I think the first game week or two, Jensen's probably going to play ahead of him because he played quite well till the end of the season. But with the new 5-sub rule, doesn't really matter. Like, he's going to get... as long as Josh Silva's fit, he will be getting minutes. Mm. So if you want a cheap 4.5 million filler, get in Josh Silva because he will play as long as he's fit, as long as he's not pulled another hammy. He's been really unlucky with injuries. I think he had a really bad hip injury where they actually had to like remove some bone from his hip or something weird. It was like a really odd... I watched a thing about him the other day on the Brentford YouTube channel, and they were saying like, it's... Even a sports scientist said to him, like, I've never seen this injury occur in a professional athlete before. So that's how sort of bizarre it was. That he is fun. For me, he's 1.2% owned already. I mean, obviously the game is very new, there's still millions of players to add to the game. I mean, we're only at like 2.5 million on the game at the moment, but 4.5 mil, he is for me. Like, oh, I mean, he will be in my team for the rest of the season unless he gets injured or something. And I prefer him to Pereira because, I mean, De Silva got 10 goals in his last fit season for Brentford. I think it's 10 goals and 4 or 5 assists or something. So, I mean, he's very, very attacking, very good player. Yeah, and other cheap players. I mean, we've already spoken about Grealish. You spoke about Neto. I mean, it'd be rude, I guess, not to talk about him, but Bruno Guimaraes, like, had a great end of the season, didn't he?
Yeah, going to be interesting to see it, how he plays, because he was, like, I didn't have him down as a box-to-box, certainly not an attacking midfielder. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he continues that goal form that he had at the end of last season. But
yeah. I don't know. I probably won't own him still. Even if he does really well, I probably won't bother owning him. I just don't like the idea of it. It just doesn't seem... I mean, 6 mil as well is a weird price. When you can have someone like Smith Rowe at 6 mil or Martinelli at 6 mil. I know, obviously, there's the rotation we talked about with Saka, but they're obviously far more attacking players.
Yeah.
Weird. Weird one.
An interesting thought. I think Newcastle are obviously going to be good this year, but Nick Pope at 5 million. Do we think he comes straight in for Dubravka?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think so. I'm a really big fan of Nick Pope, but...
I know you said you're going 4.5 and 4, but you're tempted by him at all?
I mean, if I was going for a 5, it'd definitely be Mendy. So
this is true, yeah.
That's the problem. I think if they priced Nick Pope at 4.5 million, then yeah, I'd have him over my 4.5 million keeper, we'll talk about again in a minute. But I just... 5 mil, they've just sort of priced him out a little bit. It's an interesting is there any good I'm going through the total of the transfers at the moment. It's really interesting ones. I mean, apart from the obvious Nunes, well, I mean, you're a Liverpool fan. What's your thoughts on the price you paid for Nunes?
In terms of the price we paid for him to get him, too much, but it's one of those where I don't know if they had put a clause in his contract or not, but Benfica quite often do that, where they sell their best player for stupid amounts of money. And he was no doubt their best player. He scored like 26 goals in 28 games or something last year, something like nearly a goal a game, basically. And then he added on assists on top of that. Looked very good when he played against us in the Champions League. Took both of his goals very well. I've not actually seen his preseason highlights. I know lots of people have been mocking it and saying how bad he's been and putting together compilation videos and all sorts. But yeah, it doesn't help when you pay 60 odd million for him and your neighbours across the road pay 50 and a bit for Haaland. Like, so I think we did overpay, but he's certainly a Klopp player. And talking to a friend, he was like, you know, I would trust Klopp if he signed my mum to play for us, because there just have been very few transfers where he's got it wrong. The only ones that I can really think of are Naby Keita's not been who I expected him to be. That's the kind of main one that stands out. Minamino a little bit. He gave us good service, especially in the cup and stuff, but I expected him to challenge a lot more for starting places than he did. But otherwise, pretty much every transfer Klopp has made has worked out, especially the big money ones. So I do trust him. It's obviously going to take a while for the guy to bed in. But as I say, I think he is a Klopp player. He plays high and aggressive. And as I said, from what I saw of him last year, he's a good finisher. So we'll just have to wait and see. I think, yeah, Klopp always does bed the players in gently. So I think provided he's fit, Jota will start the season up top. And if he doesn't, then maybe Firmino will. Diaz will play off the left and Salah will play off the right. And then we'll see Nunes coming in to maybe the slightly easier games in the league, the cup games, that maybe in the Champions League he'll start. He'll be worked his way in. But from a fantasy perspective, I certainly won't be owning him.
No.
Even if he, you know.
Unless he becomes unridiculous, shall I
say? Yeah, unless he's scoring 25-ish goals this year, I don't think I'll own him, because he's just too expensive, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, although I guess to be fair, you say that if he is banging in that many goals, and you got Diaz at 8 mil, him at 9 mil,
you said by Salah.
Yeah, Salah's a son.
Potentially.
Salah's a son that gives you enough money to get Jesus up to Anyway, we'll come on to that.
If you don't have anything else price-wise to talk about, shall we talk about our first drafts?
Yeah, why not?
Shall we give... Well, as I said, I've already talked about having three premiums, but what is your overall strategy for your team? You mentioned 4.5 and 4 million keepers, but what's the kind of template before we talk about who you've actually got in your team? What's your overall strategy?
I think the best way to start it is there are seven template players really at the moment, which are the seven I've spoken about. And I think how many of them you own is how your lineup is going to sit really. I own six out of seven of them. The only one I don't own at the moment is Perisic, and I'm not really happy with that either at the moment. My strategy this year, or what I'm going to be doing, is basically putting all my money in my team, leaving very little on the bench, playing players only. No like value on the bench at all. I mean, last year I put a bit too much value on the bench, I think was my opinion, but with COVID it sort of was okay. I think they're still going to be that this year, but it's going to be less so. We're going to see sort of maybe you'll see like illness and they won't play and things like that, but I think it's going to be a little bit further and far between. You might still see it and might completely come back and kick us all, but for me it's just having playing players on the bench this year, not worrying too much about value of that. I mean, at the moment I've got two playing players on the bench, one who I'm pretty sure may get the odd minute here and there, but probably, Sam Greenwood, a lot of people own him. So, he played 231 minutes last year towards the end of the season. That's just bench fodder really for me. So, that's the strategy. Currently sat with a 4-4-2. How about you?
Yeah, as I said, I've got three premiums at the minute. I'm similarly going with a 4.5 and a 4 mil keeper. My first draft, I've tried to have playing players throughout, but as I say, it is a very rough first draft. I might go to what you're talking about in terms of just investing in your starting 11. And that doesn't even necessarily mean, maximizing the price you can get. Because as I said, for example, I quite like Walker's price at 5 mil. I've not gone the whole hog and got Cancelo at 7. But yeah, just in terms of being burned by your bench, which it's obviously good to have in terms of short-term injuries and not having to spend too much on transfers, taking hits and stuff. But yeah, I've kind of gone small at the back and invested quite heavily in my midfield and strike force.
I'm really interested by that. I'm really interested to hear your back then, because I think in the question to start with then, so of the seven, Reece James, Trent, Cancelo, Perisic, Salah, like, Jesus and Haaland, how many do you own at the moment?
Well, so like you mentioned them, I've actually tried to go away from the template. Just because...
This is why we're dummies.
Exactly. This does not constitute legal advice. It's my... I wanted to, as I say, go away from the template and try and find points elsewhere, which may very well be foolish because they are template for a reason. And there are people much smarter than me, both in life and FPL-wise, who know what they're doing, and that's why these players are very highly owned. But I just thought, I would try and find value elsewhere. And if I can steal a march on people who have followed the crowd, then great. I mean, as I say, it very well may come back to bite me, but I have at the minute. So who would you consider template again?
Reece James, Trent Alexander-Arnold, João Cancelo, Ivan Perisic?
Either or, I don't mind. I don't know. Yeah, I don't mind, as if it's my name.
Yeah, say, what is his first name? Perisic, Mol Salah, Erling Haaland, and Gabriel Jesus.
One of those.
Oh my God. I assume that's Mo.
Yeah.
My God.
I will.
Right, should we start then? Right, keeper. Who's your keeper?
So my starting keeper is Robert Sanchez for Brighton.
We all love Bobby Sanchez. We had him for many an hour last year.
It may be subject to change. As I say, Well, as you mentioned, for example, Edouard Mendy, I don't have any Chelsea assets at the minute. So
having... You don't have any Chelsea assets? Oh, mate, I'm so excited to hear this draft now.
As I said, I threw this together in about 5 minutes, 4 days ago. So it's not by any means polished. And we will chat before the beginning of Game Week 1 about what our final team is starting to look like. But so that could very well change to Mendy, because I do have 0.5 in the bank as it stands. So without any other transfers, the rest of my team, I could stretch to that. Then just a non-playing 4 million Matthews to fill the bench. Then I, in my defence, it's pretty mid to cheap price. So I've got Ben White at 4.5, Tyrone Mings at 4.5, Nico Williams at 4, and Kyle Walker at 5. And then Zuma was just a placeholder because I wanted to have something visual to work
with. What is Zuma then?
Zuma's 4.5 as well.
Okay, he's a 4.
Just because it's really hard when you've got a blank slate to choose who to fill in. So Zuma was...
So you've got a 3 back at the moment then, is it?
Yeah, probably. I'll see what I'm starting. I'm on transfers at the minute. So pick team. Yeah, on a 3 back with Walker, White and Mings to start in the first game week. Then in the middle, as I said, I've gone for a lot of playing players, and generally speaking, they're quite cheap because I've gone big in premiums. But Salah, De Bruyne, Eberiezi, as I mentioned, Harvey Barnes. Again, as I said, I was trying to get away from the template. Well, it's not quite template, but Madison's the most popular owned, and Barnes had a decent end to the season. Well, Madison had a better end to the season, so again, this may be subject to change. And then I've gone for Kulusevski as my main 8 million midfielder.
Okay.
And then
No Diaz.
No Diaz at the minute.
Okay.
And then I've gone for Kane and Tony up top, with Taylor from Forest as bench fodder for 4.5 mil. So, as I say, it's a very rough first draft. Probably a lot is going to change between now and 2 weeks' time. But yeah, that's what I've gone with to start.
Yeah, I absolutely hate it.
I'm not surprised.
No. I mean, I love the fact it's completely away from the sort of like template 7, which is nice. Yeah.
So you said you own 6.
I own 5, actually.
Oh, 5, okay.
Mainly because I've tried to be clever on one of them. So I'm currently with David Raya in goal.
Mm-hmm. I saw you tweet, so you think he's starting over Strakosha?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, everyone's going like, oh, he's Lazio's number one keeper. Like, he's really, really good. It's like, everyone seems to be forgetting that...
David Raya is Brentford's number one keeper.
And he's also a very, very good keeper.
Yeah.
Like, linked with Arsenal last year. Obviously didn't get the move because Arsenal decided didn't want to pay the money. He currently is, I mean, Spain's third choice keeper ahead of De Gea at the moment. I mean, De Gea doesn't get a call up to the Spain squad and David Raya is getting a call up. I mean, that's more to do with their footballing ability. Raya also knows the players, the way they play. I mean, the system, he's very good with his feet and his save percentage is phenomenal. I mean, it was only Greta that got a higher save percentage than him last year, I think. But obviously now with Sam Johnston coming in, obviously it's a bit more of a riskier one, I think. I think Sam Johnston will overtake him as number one Greta. Obviously, I'm happy to be told otherwise, but I just think David Raya is a really, really good keeper and Brentford's defence is pretty good. So it wasn't bad last year. I mean, we had a bad spell, and the bad spell was shock and awe when David Raya was injured. So I think Strauss is a fantastic signing with competition and potentially could. Raya's only got 2 years left in his contract, so whether we cash in and sell him in January or whether we sell him in next year, potentially, don't know. Pass on that one.
Wouldn't put it past Brentford, would you?
I mean, even bringing in a keeper to almost force David Raya to go, right, I need to sign a new contract, otherwise I'm not going to be number one anymore. I mean, that's also consideration. Yeah. I mean, they're not stupid blokes at Brentford. Phil Charles, the manager. Anyway, but Raya in goal, my backup keeper is Fraser Forster at the moment. Trent and Cancelo and Nico Williams. I then have gone Chilwell instead of Reece James. His points per game last year was ridiculous.
Yeah, really high.
It was like, I think it was almost double figures a game. It was crazy good. My other injury, and to partner, I mean, I thought I'd just get all the players getting really injured. Kieran Trippier on the other side at the moment. Mm. Nick Pope in goal. They've just signed Sven Botman. I think it's a great signing. Really like it. I think the start of the season for them, first game's Nottingham Forest. So I'm not saying that's an easy game, but the run's not awful. I mean, we're getting the fixtures, obviously. later in a couple weeks' time. But
they were really good defensively towards the end of last season, weren't they? So it's not
absolutely
out there to suggest they'll be good again.
And to pick the guy that's on free kicks and corners and most set pieces and is also in that defence, I quite like it.
Yep.
Chosen him over Perisic at the moment. I just don't think Spurs are going to keep that many clean sheets. I just don't.
It'll be interesting to see because Conte is obviously known for his defensive prowess and bringing in, I mean, Perisic isn't a defender. We've established he's a midfielder slash winger playing at wing back. But bringing in the likes of Longley, having, summer to work on, you know, defensive shape and everyone getting to know the system and what they're expected and how they're going to play and stuff. I think they might not be too bad. We'll obviously wait to see how the rubber hits the road, but I'm not convinced that they'll concede shed loads. I think it'll certainly tighten them up compared to last year. So,
yeah, no, I mean, to be honest, knowing me and how I play, I'll end up going back to Perisic, I'm sure. But the reason I've gone Trippier is to save the extra half mil so I can get Grealish in. So I've got Grealish at the moment, which I just really like the idea of it. Salah, Diaz and Johan Vissa at the moment, another Brentford player. I've got Vissa and De Silva, so two Brentford midfielders, which is a bit risky. I'm not so keen on Vissa at the moment, just because now we've signed another winger ourselves, so who also plays Vissa's side. So not so keen on that at the moment. Not sure at the moment. I think Vissa will start. He had such a good end to the season. So
was that Salah, Grealish, Vissa, De Silva, and who else?
Luis Diaz.
Diaz, okay.
8 mil, I mean, just for me, I don't think there'll be four players I never change in this team this year, unless they get injured. Trent, Salah, I'm going to say three actually. Trent, Luis Diaz, Josh De Silva. I can see me telling Salah at some point for someone else, like Son. Luis Diaz at 8 mil, just he was so good at the end. He just looks amazing. Whether that goes to points next year, I'm not sure. We'll see. And finally, Jesus and Haaland up top and Sam Greenwood, just bench fodder. So he's my only bench fodder non-playing player, Jesus and Haaland. I mean, Jesus, I think it's just so hard to look past because so cheap.
Yeah.
And Haaland's cheaper than De Bruyne. That's the only reason I've gone for him. But I really want Kane. I have no Spurs in this team at the moment. Kane or Son. I mean, Kane
both of them. And this is going back to what we were talking about earlier, is that it's just so hard to own everyone and cover them all, which is good for making teams interesting, but then bad because you feel like you're missing out by not having someone. But equally, if you then went and had that person, you couldn't have who you've already got, who you clearly want. So
I think the nice thing about Man City and Liverpool is fixtures are really good at the start of the season. So Spurs have a mixture of harder games in there, so it's not so dead cert. But I mean, it's Son, Kane, they can score against whoever they want. And that's it at the moment. That's all I've got. I am not sure I like it or not. I think I posted it right at the start of the season and put this in my first draft. Absolutely hate it. speak to me in a few months' time. Not sure at all.
I do. We've somehow gone nearly an hour without talking about him, really. But Haaland to City. I think the guy is perfectly made for the Prem with De Bruyne behind him. He's going to be, you know, a five-star service on a platter. Just put it away. But that's really why I've gone for De Bruyne, is I think he's going to, if he plays, you know, the standout game for me was that Wolves game where he scored four. Was it four or three?
I can't remember. It was a lot.
It was four and he scored three with his left foot. He was just unbelievable. And if he plays anything like that for even half the season, the amount of points he's going to rack up is going to be ridiculous. And that will be both goals and assists. And considering that as a midfielder, he gets more for goals than Haaland will, he gets assists and he gets clean sheet points, which City will no doubt rack up. I just think, yeah, he's more expensive, but I think across the board he will rack up more points than Haaland will. And that's even with me backing Haaland to be a success. So,
Haaland's just like, I mean, he's got like the strength of Lukaku, the left foot of Salah, and the weird running technique of Raheem Sterling. I mean, he's the, he just looks, I mean, obviously he's only played, I mean, when you watch him, he just looks so, so good.
Yeah, I mean, this could change, as I say. It's just so hard to own everyone. Salah could very well change to Diaz. Tony could go to Haaland, and, you know, some more tinkering could go on. As I say, maybe bring in some Chelsea assets. But
oh, you know what I could do? Just, I mean, this is where we get to our good old Babel stage, which I absolutely love. Imagine, now I've got Grealish in, putting in Harry Kane instead of Haaland. Mm. And confirm transfer.
So that's
Jack Grealish covering Haaland. That's an interesting one, Tom.
Yeah, certainly. So that's one City asset and one Spurs.
And Cancelo. So, I mean, everyone knows Cancelo.
Attacking wise.
It's just the fact that he is 60% owned. It's like, if he scores a goal, basically, I may as well just go and leave FPL for another year, because I won't. My rank will be so far destroyed by him.
So yeah, it's really interesting. You've got
very hot curry.
You've got three premium defenders, and I've got none.
Yeah, but they're not even premium. I mean, when you think about it, Trent's 7.5. I mean, it's not expensive.
No, but Luis Diaz is 8 mil. You've got three of the most expensive defenders you can own.
Yeah, but I think they're worth it. I can't see how Cancelo 7 million is a joke. Chilwell and Reece James at 6 million is disgusting.
I'm just wondering, you know, maybe playing devil's advocate here, but do we think that they are going to be as productive? For example, Cancelo, certainly, is he going to be as productive as he was last year?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You reckon?
No, yeah, if not even better. I mean, he can now just whip in balls, and Haaland can just stick him away instead of having no striker. I mean, Trent got 208 points last year. Cancelo got 201. Reece James didn't play every game and still got 141. Alexander Powell.
No, my right back, TAA.
TAA. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I really like it. I'm struggling with the premiums. It's which premium to go with. That's my main struggle. The rest of my team, I don't care. It's more fun. I'm having more fun picking the team around my premiums. Mm. I'm hating picking my premiums at the moment. Just don't know who to pick. And I'll end up picking the template ones, which I think I heard a really good tip the other day. I think it was James from Planet. He said, you can't win FPL on game week one. You can definitely lose it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying go with the template, because you can pick players away from template. I mean, the dream team every week is not the template players, but the reason they're template players is because they are good players.
It's just owning the right template players, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because whilst you say that Kings of the Game Week is never all of the template players, it will certainly feature one or two of them, if not more.
Yeah,
and if you own the wrong two or three, so you've got two or three, then... but yeah, this is the whole reason we hate the game, is because picking the right players is the name of the game. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've got... we could probably waffle on, but...
waffle for hours.
But we'll get everyone to tune in a couple of weeks' time to see how the drafts have changed and where we're at going into game week one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the league is back up and running. It was pending moderation for a few days. I reset it, and for some reason FPL decided to say pending moderation for hours. So I'm sure a lot of people just left it, because why would you want to join a league that doesn't say FPL by Dummies Podcast League? It says pending moderation. So, you know, I don't know whether you do know, you can regenerate the code of the league, like, until you get something that you want. Yeah, I've got something I want.
What is it?
And it starts, the league code this year is BJ.
69.
No, it's not. I've got BJ, BJ3GEE. But the fact is, I BJ just really made me laugh. I honestly was there for about half an hour refreshing the code, trying to find something that was funny. And I got BJ, and I thought, you know what, that'll do. So BJ3GEE, I will put out another tweet as per normal with an auto link join. So you can just click on that and it will force you to join the league straight away and just press accept, because you don't want to decline it, because there is a prize at the end of the year.
FBL by Child Dummies.
There was a prize last year, which was, I mean, I almost fell for it. I mean, now everyone's listened to it. I got absolutely mugged off by Paul Walsh.
I won our league last year.
Absolutely genuinely done me until Cam noticed my mistake. The prize last year the winner got a cardboard cutout of Sean Dyke. I thought it was really funny. So did Cam. And so we messaged Paul and was like, Paul, where would you like me to send your, you know,
what's your cardboard address cutout of, we can send you?
Where's your address? We can send it to you. And he was like, oh, you know, thanks very much. If you could send it to
my office.
If you can send it to my office address, because that's the easier thing to do. The office address is 52 to 56 Harry Potts Way, Burnley, BB10, 4BX. I was like, yeah, no problem, Paul. I will do that now. Started doing it. And so I sent it to Cam. I was like, oh, Paul's accepted. Yeah, you know, going to send it to his work address, blah, blah, blah. And Cam quickly pointed out that that was the address of Turf Moor. Paul, if you are listening, you are a bastard.
Send a life-size cutout of Sean Dyche to Turf Moor.
I mean, that would have been so good as well. Maybe we should have just done it. But there will be another ship prize this year. Maybe slightly better than a Paul Walsh carbon cutout. Maybe it'll be a Paul Walsh carbon cutout. Paul Welsh, sorry. Yeah, carbon cutout of Paul. It won't be Sean Dyche this year. It'll probably be another manager get sacked instead. But yeah, so you can join the code BJ3GEE. I've already remembered it. It's just so easy. It rolls off the tongue. Yeah, and that is all we've got time for. As the adage goes. Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter. Cam, you gonna be on Twitter again this year?
I might sub on for Meme FC at some point.
Meme FC, FPL Dummy Cameron over there. I am FPL Dummy Tom, and FPL by Dummies is the main podcast site, Twitter. Yeah, if you do get confused, we've got new artwork because we're really creative people. No, we're not. Thank you to my sister, who's a graphic designer. But we have new art design, so if you see all of our logos change in the next coming days, then don't unfollow us because we look something different. We are the same. We are still two idiots who are currently puddles of sweat talking shit about fantasy Premier League. Back again. A couple weeks' time.
See you then.
Bye for now.